I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics, politics. Humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Arch Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name's Bart. This is Bart Cop Radio. Often heard on the Bart Cop Radio Networks, often seen on BartCop.com, and welcome to the show. It's show 99. We're perilously close to the big century mark. Oh, I'll tell you what, we got a big show for you today. Hard to believe it's hard to believe we've been through so much since you last heard from me. Had an emergency trip to Dallas, had a very, very important business trip had to make to St. Louis. So much is going on. Oh, and what a big, big show we got for you today. Not only did the Democrats take back the House and the Senate, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. Such a big, big show. I have no idea how many discs this show's going to take. Could take one, could take two, could take four. Won't know till it's over. Wish me luck. But what we have lined up so far, what we have in the can, we got plenty of Bush bashing. Oh, I'll tell you what, that bastard, he deserves so much more than what I'm able to give him because there's just not enough time. Got plenty of comedy in today's shows. People call and say, Bart, what about the comedy? Yep, we remembered the comedy this time. Now, we even got snakes on planes. What else we got? We got everybody's favorite. We got Bono is going to talk to you. Actually, he's going to say some bad things about the president, so I think you might forgive his presence. I got a little bit of Scarface for you. What is the issue without some Scarface? We got some lucky troops coming home. We got some recruiting lies that should be illegal. I hate it when a recruiter lies some poor idiot over into Iraq. Now he's got bullets whizzing by his head. He's seeing his best friend shot. He's getting paid, what, $90 a month to get shot at? Sand fleas everywhere, 115 degrees, no food. We also have plenty of religious insanity, too. We got religious insanity early, got some in the middle, got some late. No shortage of religious insanity today. Got a little outrage, too. We got enough outrage to fill Hoover Dam. But so much to do, and I can't claim all the credit. We got Jon Stewart. We got Wanda Sykes. We got Amy Poehler. We got Bill Maher. And if you hear a familiar voice, it just might be a fellow named Lennon. But tell you what, can't do nothing. Can't get the show started without a shot at Chinacos. Let's do that. This was donated by my good friend Pontiac Tom, who you know from the Vegas Fest. All right, let's get that. Oh. You can tell by the power in the pop, this is good stuff. Let's see, it's from Lot 3808, and it's bottle number 29568. Mark that down, AK29568. There'll be a quiz later. 100% Blue Agave. Certificado. That means it's real. Okay, like I said, we got too much show to tarry around. Let's get to the big, big show right now.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Shoes on my feet. Tried to find a reason. Reason things went wrong. Got to find a reason why my money's all gone. I got a Dalmatian. I could stick it high. I can play the guitar like a man.
Say, why all the glum faces?
What a stupid way to start a press conference, but there are at least two ways to take this. One way would be that he is so stupid, and it's hard to believe he can be, at this point, even more stupid than we think he is. It's possible that he's so stupid he doesn't understand the hugeness of this defeat for him. All his enemies now have more power than he does. All his friends are about to get put under oath and maybe go to jail, maybe just be extremely embarrassed. and thrown out of the party, thrown out of the good graces of everyone they've ever met? Is it possible that he's so stupid he doesn't grasp the enormity of what he's done? The other way to take it is that the press corps is so in tune with him, they are so with him, that they know he's having a bad day, and they all feel so sad because poor George is going to have a bad day. Poor George, it's so sad about the little boy. He lost his bicycle, and they know how disappointed he's going to be. So he walks in, hey, what's all the glum faces?
Yesterday, people went to the polls, and they cast their vote for a new direction in the House of Representatives. And while the ballots are still being counted in the Senate, it is clear the Democrat Party had a good night last night. And I congratulate them on their victories.
Wait, how can you congratulate them on your victories? Because you are such a mean-spirited and spiteful son of a bitch. You said a vote for the Democrats was a vote for Al-Qaeda. Now you're, in effect, congratulating Al-Qaeda in their victory over America? Boy, you don't make any damn sense. You're just too stupid to be president. We knew that 6 or 7 years ago. Why did it take the rest of the country so long to figure it out? The press knew it 6 or 7 years ago, too, but they chose to keep quiet because they thought Gore would be a little boring. They thought having a new guy in there, anybody but Mr. Boring, would be better, and boy, did they get their wish. These last 6 years have been anything but boring between the wars and the tortures and the murders and the rapes. Yeah, it's been a fun ride for the press.
This morning I spoke with Republican and Democrat leadership in the House and the Senate. I'm obviously disappointed with the outcome of the election, and as the head of the Republican Party, I share a large part of the responsibility.
Excuse me, sir. I believe the word blame would be more apropos. Oh, I'm sorry, that's a French word. You don't do the French words, but I believe blame is the word you're looking for as opposed to responsibility.
I told my party's leaders that it is now our duty to put the elections behind us and work together with the Democrats and independents on the great issues facing this country.
Wait, why is it now time to do that? Why wasn't it time to do that for the last 6 damn years? Put the petty partisan bullshit aside and actually work towards making it a better country. Why is it only now time to do that? Funny, the day after you lose all your power, now it's time to share. You know, you remind me of there's an old Eddie Murphy skit where he had an ice cream cone. I got ice cream. You don't have no ice cream. I got the ice cream. And then plop, he loses the ice cream. And all of a sudden, now he wants to be friends. That's the president we got. After dancing around for 6 years, I got the ice cream. You cannot have some. I got the ice cream. You cannot have none. After 6 years of that, now the dumb son of a bitch has dropped his giant gob of ice cream on the sidewalk, and now it's covered with ants and flies. And now he's looking at the Democrats saying, hey, guys, want to be friends? You son of a bitch. And knowing the Democrats are going to lay down and play fair and share power and all that crap that I hate. Jesus Christ. I already spelled this out on the page. Let me spell it out on the radio for the, maybe the spoken word will outlast the page. Who knows? The way to get out of this, the way to be fair, sure, if we were magnanimous and we thought the other guy would respond to our magnanimity, probably invented a new word there, then we could say, okay, let's be pals. But, you know, we tried that. Robert Perry's got an article up recently, because I don't know when you're going to hear this. It's a repeat of an article he ran, I think, back in May about how stupid Clinton was to say, let's be friends in 1993 when he took the office. And I disagreed with Perry on that. I think it's not always a bad thing to say, hey, let's put the war to the side and see what we can do together. But Perry refused to give Clinton the benefit of the doubt that Perry wrote this in the 21st century, saying, I wonder why back in 93 Clinton didn't use his head, in my argument as well. And if Clinton knew in 93 what he knew in the 21st century, he might have treated the Republicans different. We don't know. But the only way to get out of this mess is to say, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to feed it to you sons of bitches for the next 2 years. And right now, I'd say it's pretty even, or we, you know, maybe we have an advantage, I don't know. But right now, nobody knows who's going to win in 2008. It's way too early to say so-and-so's got a lock on it. So while it's still too early, if they got together now and said, okay, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to stick you guys like crazy for the next 2 years, but no matter who wins 2008, Starting January 2009, we've got these permanent rules about how you share power, about who can do a filibuster, about all this stuff. But sit down and iron this out now, because again, we're going to screw you for the next 2 years, because you screwed us for the last six. We're going to give you 3-1 on your screwing there, which is a big bargain for you bastards. But we're going to get 2 years of revenge, and then starting in the 2008 elections, boom, 2009, January 20th, we go clean on the slate. What we do, we decide from now on, families are off the table. We don't go after wives. We don't go after girlfriends. We don't go after candidates' kids. We don't go after candidates' parents. Remember, they went after Clinton's mom. Oh, she's a KGB agent who gambled all the time and drank. Yeah, that's why we want to vote for your party, because the other guy's mom grew up in a city in Arkansas that had horse racing legal. So, yeah, God forbid the lady has supported the local trade in the town. But, you know, they should just decide that. They could decide right now that starting in 2009, every campaign that runs after the 2008 campaigns, they ought to say, they ought to just make it a damn rule. And if just one side wants to do it, fine. They should just post it somewhere on, you know, like the Democrats put this on their website. It says, hey, we're not going to go after you. We're going to go after your issues. If you pass a law that screws this up and screws it up, or, you know, you pass a law that says torture is fun, or you pass a law that says we don't have to arraign you, we don't have to charge you with anything, we're just going to throw you in a hole in the ground and forget about you, and that's what we've made the law. Now, see, we attack that. We don't attack the fact that Bush's wife killed a guy in her car, and we don't attack the, you know, we keep the family stuff out of it. Now, see, we can make them that deal, but it's only good if you do it now. You can't wait like these sons of bitches. You can't wait until you've been totally defeated and then say, hey, let's be pals. No, the time to make pals is you make it in advance, like I'm proposing. So will anyone listen to me? Hell no. Don't you think it would look real good in the 2010 campaign when they say, oh, Bart Cop, he did drugs. Bart Cop, he likes naked women. Oh, Bart Cop, and then my response would be, I am for a minimum wage increase. I am against the super rich taking the money from the super poor. I'm against interfering in the Middle East and causing wars, getting all our kids' legs and arms blown off. Now, see, when they see their commercial, oh, Barkow's such a bad guy, and they see my commercial, here's what I'm going to do for America, I think I'd win that campaign. Of course, now, if they want to play dirty, if they want to get down in the mud and sling, I think I'm up there with the best of them. Same way with a lot of people talk about, oh, how can you consider backing Hillary because she's just going to dredge up all that crap? I say, bring it on. When they start, go, Hillary and the cattle futures back in the 40s. Well, fine. You stay mired in the 40s. I'm looking forward. If you want to whine about what happened to Hillary when she was 19 years old or whatever, you know, if you want to go back that many decades to look for something wrong, that must mean that the last few decades have been perfect. That's one of my favorite arguments. When they say, you Republicans are racist. Well, we freed the slaves. Well, hey, what have you done the last 160 years, son of a bitch? If your first thing that pops into your head about what you've done for black people, you got to go back to the Civil War. Yeah, I got a feeling you haven't done anything for us lately. There's a Janet Jackson song in there somewhere.
This morning I also spoke with the Democrats. I spoke with Senators Reid and Durbin. I congratulated them on running a strong campaign in the Senate.
That's just empty rhetoric. You don't mean it. You don't mean it one goddamn bit. After all this, the Democrats and Al-Qaeda are the same. And if you vote for them, the mushroom clouds and the Willie Horton's coming for your daughter and the gays are going to rape your son. After all that, now you're saying, hey, boys, nice campaign. No, it doesn't work like that, George. What you do, you act like a decent human being during the campaign. And then at the end of the campaign, you can say, hey, nice campaign. But when you're acting like a Bush dirty bastard, and remember, the Bush family plays dirty, and this is a dirty game. It's kind of like, you know, the NFL is a rough and tumble game. You know, you get broken bones. You get, you know, you hit a guy hard. You might knock his wind out. You might, you know, break a bone, but it's a good legal hit. That's one thing. But we get in a pileup and you grab a guy's hand and you push his finger in your mouth and you chew real hard. That's the Bush family. They're not going to beat you with blocking and tackling and breaking your tackles. No, they're going to beat you by biting like Mike Tyson. That's how the Bush family fights. They just fucking cheat. They just do. You know, from your basic Willie Horton to the Swift boaters to where they screwed McCain. And, you know, that screwing of McCain is getting a little funnier now as time goes by, as McCain turns into the stupidest whore in politics. John, you're not going to be president. You're not going to. It's almost a week after the election, and McCain's out there saying, oh, I'm going to put a committee together to explore the possible. Hey, John, just call me. Save the time. Save the trouble. Just call me and say, Bart, what are my chances? Nagada. It ain't going to happen, John. Anyone that heard the election analysis knows they talked about this rabid anti-McCain half of the Republican Party, and that excludes the evangelicals and the religiously insane half of the party. So how in the hell is John McCain going to win with the religiously insane half against him? When he called Falwell a dirty slut and a whore, and then Pat Robertson a dirty chiseler and a liar, and then when he's ready to run for president, oh, my good friends, Pat and Jerry, my good friends, I think I'll put on a clown outfit and go to Falwell's university and say bygones, you know, as if that counts. His whole life, he's been one way. Now he's going to run for president, he's going to be another. And if it's not him, it's Rudy. And what's Rudy going to do? He's pro-choice, he's anti-guns, he's pro-choice. How in the hell is he going to win the religious conservatives? You know, I know you don't want to hear this, but sometimes, like a good father figure, I'm going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. Everything's lining up for her with a capital H. If it comes down to Rudy or John McCain, she's going to slaughter him. Now, you know, someone could come out of the, you know, I don't know much about Romney. Isn't he a Mormon? How in the hell are they going to, are they going to run a Mormon? Are the religious crazies going to get behind a Mormon? And how many wives does Romney have? And if he had more than a few wives, would that be a problem? Are we for religious freedom in this country, or are we not for religious freedom? If the Mormons want to get together and have six wives, why is it our business? When that they had that terrible shooting, you know, with the Amish back in Pennsylvania, several of them, I think they said 40 members of the, not the audience, the congregation at the shooter's funeral, there was 40 of the Amish people there. Now that, to me, is a strong religion. Everybody talks about, oh, with God you can do anything, and God is so strong, and God is what matters. But that some bitch, he shot my little son. You know, he stepped on my boy's toe, so I want him dead. Screw the Lord's vengeance. I want vengeance right now. But it was amazing. That was one of the few times in my whole life. Well, the other one I was going to say, not, I don't mean to tease you, but John Jr. went into the ocean. Ted came out and said that their faith really helped him get through this. And, you know, I'm not going to call the guy a liar, because if your red shirt makes you feel better, well, then put your damn red shirt on. If you're lucky rabbit's foot or your four-leaf clover, if it makes you feel better, fine. Just don't try to, don't declare war because your lucky rabbit's foot said so. You know, that's all I'm saying. If there's something, you've got some personal thing in the back of your mind that makes you feel better, go right ahead. If you want to think about baseball or flying birds or, you know, if you do anything that makes you feel better, get you through a bad day, fine. Just don't try to make public policy out of that. The Amish really showed me something about what a real religion could do, not that I'm picking them over the crazy religions with which I'm more familiar, but I've never seen a Catholic say that. Maybe the Pope, maybe the Bishop might get up there and make a speech about we must forgive. 9/11, pretty good example. If people were true to their God, when 9/11 happened, they should have said, I will pray for those misguided men who brought down those buildings. Did you hear that once? Closest I heard to that was Richard Gere. He got booed off the stage in New York when he said something about they're God's peoples too, or, you know, he said something like that, and the firemen just booed him, and I understand that's how it works. If you're going to be a vengeful, so I was among the hottest of them. When 9/11 happened, I wanted to bomb everything in the Middle East, and that lasted about 24 hours, and we're lucky I'm not president, but had I been president, and I said, I want to glass them all right now, I think somebody would have said, President Bart, we really can't do that. If we need to tie it to a chair, we're going to, you know, but that's the kind of thing. In closing, though, if you're going to claim, you know, God is my co-pilot and all that crap, when disaster strikes, you got to be Jesus-like. You can't be normal like the firemen were in New York. I'm not saying they did the wrong thing. I'm saying they did the natural thing. They did the human thing. They did the emotional thing. So quit whining about how Jesus is sitting on your shoulder guiding you through life. That ain't happening. Everybody knows it. Bob Dolan knows it. Very people know it.
Which brings me to our final new rule. There is no devil, so stop blaming your screw-ups on him. Last week, one of the biggest evangelical leaders in America, the Reverend Ted Haggard, was outed for drugs and extramarital gay sex with a male prostitute. Or as Fox News reported it, John Kerry hates our troops. Now, this was big news because Reverend Haggard was frequently at the White House and a big fan of President Bush, who he described as tan, supple, and firm where it counts. And as president of the National Association of Evangelicals, Haggard presided over 45,000 churches and was a rock star for the Christian right. And like a rock star, he was getting his freak on a lot. Sometimes the sodomy left him so exhausted he could barely use idiotic old fairy tales to get people's money. Yes, Reverend Haggard was leading a shameful double life. Now, I bring this up because I believe it connects deeply to the Republican rout this week. They lost because they came to represent the opposite of everything they were supposed to be. Competent? No. Spendthrift? Hardly. Ethical? Rarely. And the last straw was when the party that was at least supposed to be carrying the water for the gay bashers turned out to be a closet full of repressed screamers. Who knew when the Republicans got in bed with the Christian right, it'd be in a stall inside of a truck stop restroom on the New Jersey Turnpike. Reverend Haggard's plight led many to ask, is it genetic? I mean, can a man actually be born a hypocrite? Because Ted Haggard was the leader of a megachurch, and megachurches are presided over by the same skeevy door-to-door Bible salesman that we've always had, just in an age of better technology. But they're selling the same thing, fear. Fear to keep you in line. And to get your money. And it's not a coincidence the Republican Party has in recent years operated in the same way. It's also no coincidence that people of too much faith just don't see reality. Bush not seeing Iraq for what it is not that different from the way Reverend Ted's followers still think he's not gay. I'm not kidding. In their world, there are no gay people. There are just straight people who are sinning. They don't want to do it, but the devil makes them. He targets people like Reverend Ted. That's how it happened. The devil got hold of Reverend Ted, and Ted said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." In conclusion, I'd just like to say on this historic week that the legacy of the religious right will be that, despite their holy pretenses, they made politics not cleaner, but dirtier. Because when you're so sure you're right, you wind up acting so wrong. And as for Reverend Ted himself, the good news is that he is in full recovery and says he'll be receiving both spiritual advice and guidance. The bad news is, it's from Andy Dick.
And I told him that regardless of the final outcome, we can work together over the next 2 years.
No, George, actually, we're going to put you through torture for the next 2 years. And if something gets done, then fine. If you want something to get done, sign what we send you. Otherwise, you're just getting rolled. You can either get rolled and sign some legislation. You know, George, right now, your presidency is pretty much pure shit. You're going to be the guy that came into peace and prosperity and left with the biggest deficit in history and the most dead and the most hated and everything. All the torture and the rapes and the murders and all that, all the constitutional rapes you've done, that's how your legacy is going to look, but, except you've got 2 years to fix it. So if you sign everything the Democrat sends you, maybe you'll be the president who raised the minimum wage after 10 years, maybe be the president. You know something else? I heard a bunch of Randy Rhodes over the weekend. And she talked about how the Democrats got this good idea about having single-item bills. Now, isn't that just the best damn idea in the world? Because what they always do, they say, we're going to send some money to the troops. And then listen what the sons of bitches did. They put this together, this, we're going to send some money to the troops. And they said, okay, now here's the bill. Good night, everybody. And then at 2:30 in the morning, they slipped in this thing about we're going to screw everybody that plays poker. The sons of bitches. And so these people who work till 10 o'clock that night, they go home, get some sleep, show up the next morning, 7 o'clock, they have a quick vote. Are we going to send money to the soldiers or not? Yeah. And then it turns out, well, you guys just voted to screw all the poker players. We did what? Now, see, that should be a crime. The Democrats say what they're going to do now is have single-item bills. We want to do this. Up or down, yes or no. Because that's what they always do. That's why, you know, anytime a senator or representative runs for anything, they say, well, he voted against, you know, he voted to raise taxes 600 times. Well, one of the taxes was, you know, to send money to the troops in the field. So if you voted against that tax increase, you voted against the troops. So no matter how you vote on any bill in the world, it can be twisted around. He doesn't like the troops, or, you know, he voted to screw the widows and orphans. It's one of the two. So, but if you have single line bills, we're voting outlaw poker. Mr. Jones from Ohio, how do you vote? I vote screw those poker players. Aha. Guess who's going to get some mail tomorrow? How do you vote, Mr. Smith in Illinois? Well, I vote screw those poker players. Well, yeah, you're getting one too, dude. That way everybody gets on the record for exactly what they meant. The idea of putting 15 things in a bill and then saying you're going to vote yes or no on it, and if you vote no, we're going to say you screwed the troops. Well, that's not America. That's not democracy. You're not free to vote on a bill or not. What kind of bullshit is that to where a representative or a senator is not free to vote the way he wants? He just can't vote the way he wants. He's not allowed to, because the other guy's going to say you screwed the troops and you're done in 2 years. It'd be amazing if the Democrats actually fixed that and made it better. Do we think they can pull it off?
I also congratulated Congresswoman Pelosi and Congressman Hoyer. They ran a disciplined campaign. Their candidates were well organized and did a superb job of turning out their votes.
You don't mean that. You don't mean that for 1 second. As soon as you get behind closed doors, you're going to start screaming about Pelosi, the fag lover, and how she's going to bring fag values to New York and all that fag business. And no, did I mention she's a fag from Fagland, the fag lady from Fagland? Yeah, that's the real Bush. And now he's up there, oh, what a good campaign. Really looking forward to it. Everybody knows you're lying because you're a dirty prick bastard. And now everybody knows it. And for the next 2 years, George, do you think there's any chance your popularity or your approval is going to go up? Do you think there's any chance? What was it, 31 last time we heard? Come on, George, you can hit the 20s. We know you can. And I think it's going to happen. I mean, what's going to happen to make you look better, George? Peace going to break out in the Middle East? I don't think so. You're going to start treating the poor a little better and telling your rich oil buddies and the super billionaires you've got enough? No, that ain't going to happen. Is there anything you can do, George, besides agreeing with the Democrats that you can get out of this somehow with a legacy? Which, again, he doesn't need a legacy. Like he famously said, he'll be dead in 50 years, so who cares? As long as they can steal more money now. More money now, more power now. Cheney with his 5 heart attacks. What the hell is he doing working 80-hour weeks with all that pressure? What the hell is he doing with that? No, he should be retired with his $200 million down in Dallas. And, you know, one more time, just to throw this in, Bush and Cheney came from the same state, and you can't both run from the same state. When they decided Cheney was going to be vice president, he got on a plane, ran up to Wyoming, rented a P.O. box, and says, this is where I live. And the Democrats at the press said, oh, okay, that's fair. That's clearly not what the Constitution was designed to do. You can't just mail yourself a postcard in some other state and say, that's where I live now. But they let them do it. The sons of bitches, the pussy Democrats, which I'm going to have to ease up on that now because they're in charge. Not that they're going to come get me. Who's afraid of a Democrat? Since they're in charge, you know, that whole pink tutu thing, we're going to have to retire that to some degree. You know, if they let George walk all over him again, still, oh, we may have to blow it up 3 times bigger. But let's hope they finally do something right. Wouldn't it be nice if the Democrats had a little Bart Cop anger in them? What if they just are a little tired of eating shit after 6 long years? What if they just were human and they could put away this kumbaya, let's all be friends bullshit for a minute and kick some ass? And as he's laying there bloodied on the floor, say, now, George, we might consider being friends with you. But first thing we got to do is smack that smirk off your face, and you're going to lose a few teeth when we do it. But once you get past that, maybe we can talk. You know, first thing we got to do is take the teeth out of that mad dog thing you got going. Once we get those teeth out, George, then we'll talk.
I told Congresswoman Pelosi that I look forward to working with her and her colleagues to find common ground in the next 2 years.
Hey, monkey, I don't think this election had anything to do with common ground. I think it had everything to do with, will somebody stop that bastard? Will somebody slap some cuffs on this son of a bitch? Would somebody put a gag in his mouth? Would somebody break his hand so he'll quit signing torture bills? That's what this was about. It wasn't about finding common ground. It was about you knocking it the fuck off and coming over to our side. This wasn't a a 51-49 vote. You can pretend it was all day, but we didn't lose a single incumbent, George. Did you lose any?
As the majority party in the House of Representatives, they recognize that in their new role, they now have greater responsibilities.
But, Monkey, I think they understand that their primary responsibility is oversight of you and your Nazi fascist crimes, your worldwide raping and bungling and thievery and violence. They're in charge of oversight. Don't lecture them on what their job is. You do your damn job. You take care of your own damn self. We'll be okay on our side. Last thing we need is some help from a big-ass loser like you, George.
I believe that the leaders of both political parties must try to work through our differences.
That's another lie from a lying fascist bastard. You didn't think that last week. No, no, no. Your first 6 years of your administration, there was nothing about let's work together. It was all my way, the highway. Get the fuck out of here if you don't like it, because I got the power and you don't. You think we got a short memory because we're stupid, but I remember what you did to Tom Daschle. Daschle worked with you on some stuff, and then when it came time for him to run for re-election, you flew your damn big-ass presidential airplane to the whatever teeny-tiny town in South Dakota he's from, and you made a big show out of defeating the guy that worked with you, just to prove that you could. You got a chance to squash somebody, so you took it. Kind of like what you did with Iraq. You had a chance to commit violence on someone that you thought you could take, so you took that. And now you're talking about, oh, let's all be friends and share. Nuh-uh-uh. You got no ice cream. You cannot have none.
I've reassured the House and Senate leaders that I intend to work with the new Congress in a bipartisan way to address issues confronting this country. I invited them to come to the White House in the coming days to discuss the important work remaining this year.
The most important work we got coming this year, what he's talking about, is he's got to get Gates in charge of defense. He's got to have someone there that he can work like a puppet. He can't have anybody there with his own mind. He's got to have somebody firmly on the BFEE team. All important positions have to be filled by somebody whose loyalty to Bush outweighs their loyalty to the flag. That's just how this son of a bitch gang works. You got to, it's like the mob or some one of these street gangs. You know, you got to pledge your loyalty to them first. And if there's any room for America or the Constitution or the flag after that, fine. But all loyalty must go to the BFEE first. And that's the only thing he's got to get done by the end of the year. And if the Democrats lay down for that, I'll be pissed. I'll let you know if that happens.
Imagine the end of the world. Tim LaHaye has, and he and his co-author Jerry Jenkins have written more than a dozen books about it, novels that vividly imagine the last days where the good shall be saved and the bad damned. Grim, maybe, but it turns out almost nothing sells better these days than Apocalypse Now.
The end.
God will come to take his people home. No one knows the day or the hour.
The end of everything, of the earth, of all life, the end of time itself.
Over. For those left behind, the apocalypse.
Is the end near?
It's very near. With the troubles in the Middle East, to cry out to us to understand that something is going on because it fits so many Bible prophecies.
Now we've got wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation. Israel is a hotbed. It could be tonight. It could be in 5 minutes. And I believe that, and I think we need to be ready now.
Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins are all about the end. They are the co-authors of a publishing phenomenon, the Left Behind series of books, 12 wildly successful novels that imagine what the end of the world might look like if it happened today, right now, according to their evangelical Christian reading of the Book of Revelation in the Bible.
How many Left Behind books have been sold?
In excess of 60 million.
More than 60 million?
One or two, give or take.
That's right, 60 million plus books, including a kids' version of the series. And now there's a computer game, Left Behind, Eternal Forces, coming out next month, where you can fight the forces of the Antichrist in the streets of New York City.
Oh, we did it. Yep. He did it. Look, our guy, he recruited him.
Yes, in this game, you can defeat your enemies by praying at them.
Yeah.
What's driving the left-behind phenomenon is a very simple idea, kind of literary trick, if you will, that LaHaye and Jenkins came up with. The books combine dense biblical prophecy with the page-turning techniques of a Tom Clancy thriller.
People are reading the Bible as never before, and they have questions about the future, and we come along in a fictional way, present the truths in the book of Revelation.
The message yesterday was clear. The American people want their leaders in Washington to set aside partisan differences, conduct ourselves in an ethical manner, and work together to address the challenges facing our nation.
No, that's not at all what it was about. The only way it is even partially about that is when you say we got to work together. What they mean is we need to get more liberal democratic ideas than your fascist right-wing piece of shit administration. That's the closest you can come to let's work together, because when you had all the power, nobody was saying work together. You refused to work together when you had all the power. Again, if anybody's saying what you claim they're saying, it's only that we need less Republican, more Democrat. But the idea of work together, no, that didn't enter anyone's mind. They just needed you stopped, you crazy bastard.
We live in historic times. The challenges and opportunities are plain for all to see. Will this country continue to strengthen our economy? Today and over the long run, will we provide a first-class education for our children, and will we be prepared for the global challenges of the 21st century?
But Monkey, that's all smoke and mirrors and no substance at all. All this, oh, we got to do better for the kids and for the economy. No, that's all just bullshit. You ruined the economy. You gave all that money. You borrowed money to give to the super rich. How did that help the economy? And don't tell us it would have been worse without it, because when you ran in 2000, you said the economy is so good and the surplus is so big, we ought to give some back to the people. And it pisses me off when every time Bush says he inherited a recession, everybody says, oh, yeah, that's right. Well, no, even if somehow you can make that right technically, when you ran in 2000, you said, we got so much cash, we got to give some back. We're bloated. We got too much. But the press keep falling for it, and the Democrats, they just laid down. You know, isn't it amazing that we won? Can you believe? I mean, you got a bully on the street corner that beats up, the little kid that comes by every day. He beats him up every day. And then after 6 years of beating up this little kid every day, one day he breaks his hand and has to go to the hospital, and nobody declares the little kid with the broken teeth the winner in the fight. And somehow, yeah, now we're the big kid on the block. It's just kind of boggling. Who knew you could surrender yourself into power? Who knew you could crawl under a table and wet yourself to power? It's amazing.
Will we build upon the recent progress we've made in addressing our energy dependence by aggressively pursuing new technologies to break our addiction to foreign sources of energy?
That's pure 100% grade A USDA certified bullshit. When you got in the office, the first thing you did was you start screaming, tax cuts for anybody who wants to buy a Hummer. And if I got my numbers right, it was somewhere up to like $80,000 or $90,000 worth of tax breaks. Now, I don't understand that, because I don't think a Hummer costs that much, but I don't know if that's if you buy two or if you buy a Hummer that spreads out over 3 years. I don't understand the numbers behind it, because I don't own one. It didn't affect me. I'm a busy man. I got shit to do. I didn't concentrate on that little sliver. But he's up there screaming about how he's leading the effort to wean us off oil. Fuck you, George. You're an oil man. Oil was, what, $1.50 when you took office, and it's $3. Well, it's come down a little bit since the election, and the idiot oil companies, they lowered the price, trying to fool us. Hey, oil companies, you better raise the shit out of their price, because come January, it's going to have to come down again when you get called in front of those committees and put under oath and say, where the fuck have you done with all our money? How are you going to explain yourselves, big oil? You're going to have to come up with something. You better make the money while you can. If I was you, I'd make gasoline $10 a gallon from now until January, because where are you going to go then? You remember when Clinton was talking about fixing health care? Health care costs came way down. All of a sudden, it was, what crisis? Look, it's prices are coming down, and here the Clintons are trying to Stalinize the whole world, and black men marry your daughters and operate on your kids, and Willie Horton come and operate on you and all that. That's what they said. When the Democrats get near power, all of a sudden the fascist bastards and the monopoly bastards, they pull back a little bit. Don't want no trouble. But when they had their boy in the White House, when they knew they were untouchable, they just raped us crazy. Like, they just did. They Katrina'd the whole country. And we had to take it. We had no choice because the press wouldn't argue. The Democrats wouldn't argue. All we could do is take it. Now things have changed, or are they?
And most importantly, will this generation of leaders meet our obligation to protect the American people?
You could go straight to hell. When you had a chance to protect the American people, you sat there and read the damn goat book. That's your idea of protecting the American people. That and giving tax breaks to the billionaires. And not instituting any kind of safety precautions for the freight containers that are coming in, or checking the airline baggage for bombs or any of that. You haven't done anything like that. But, oh, my God, somebody, some dark person tries to get on a plane with a tube of toothpaste and they're public enemy number one. George, you've done nothing to protect this country. 9/11 happened on your watch, and you sons of bitches, you tried to blame it on Clinton because it didn't happen on his watch, just like with Kerry and the Swift boat things. You deserted Vietnam, you ran off to do a coke binge in Mexico, and Kerry turned out to be the liar and the guy who stole his medals. Isn't this amazing? And now you're the guy who wants to further the progress we made. Fuck you, George. You haven't made, all you've done is drag the country back into the 50s and throw us in a, what, a $2 trillion hole just on Iraq. Just on Iraq, $2 trillion. Think what Bill and Hillary could have done with $2 trillion. Everybody in the country would have universal health care from the moment they were conceived until they were dead in the ground. We threw that away so you could bomb a bunch of darkies and steal money, George. F you, go to hell, everybody hates you. Even your own people. I heard this morning that Newt Gingrich was screaming at the dumb monkey, if you'd have fired Rumsfeld 2 weeks ago, we'd still have the Senate. We'd probably have 10 more people in the House. But no, you waited. You promised everybody. What an idiot. God damn, he's so stupid. But a week before the election, he's promised Rumsfeld will stay in. Gingrich is right. That probably did get the Senate for us. It probably did get us an extra 10 seats in the House. Because Bush went on record saying, no, Romney is my man. He's staying. Stay the course. Till the end. Whatever it takes. Full speed ahead. I don't care what's in front of us. We're going right ahead. And everybody said, no, that's crazy.
I know there's a lot of speculation on what the election means for the battle we're waging in Iraq. I recognize that many Americans voted last night to register their displeasure with the lack of progress being made there.
George, I don't know if you understand what you just said, but you just admitted there has been no progress. And all these years you've been telling us, we're winning. Progress is being made. They're standing up. We're standing down. And now that you got your ass caught, now that you're powerless and you're just a lame duck little quack quacker, now you're admitting people are upset that we've made no progress. Do you understand the words, George? Have you ever read the speech before you gave it? I mean, you remind me of one of these idiot girls on CNN that can do a half-decent job of reading the words in front of her without stumbling, but do they understand any of it? Do you understand any of what you're reading, George? Do you have a fucking clue, George? You know, it's not your fault that before you, we had a president that could think. Let's remind everybody about the time Clinton was up there to give the State of the Union address. Big, big audience. Maybe, what, 30, 40 million people watching him? And they put the wrong damn speech on the teleprompter. So Clinton just cleared his mind, looked up, and started talking. And nobody fucking knew. That's how good he was. Clinton got up there and made sense off the top of his head. Monkey can't make sense when he's got his speech written 2 weeks ahead of time.
Yet I also believe most Americans and leaders here in Washington from both political parties understand we cannot accept defeat.
But Monkey, you put us in this impossible to get out of position. You're the idiot that said we had to go. We have to go right now. We don't have time to train anybody. We don't have time to put armor on the vehicles. We don't have time to do anything right. We have to get over there right this second. We got to go right now. And now that we're there, you're saying, oh, well, regardless how we got here, we have to move forward. We can't accept defeat. Well, if you used your damn head ahead of time, or if the press or the Democrats had bothered to mention, do you know what you're doing? Excuse me? Oh, and little sidebar. Damn, I wish I could remember the guy's name. Oh, I think it was on Randy Rhoads' show we were traveling. He's the new senator. I think it's Nelson in Florida. Randy was bitching about the guy, said, I never liked the man. He dissed me 8-10 times. Then when I went national, I was too big. He kind of had to, you know, he had to make nice then. And he came over. I hope I got this right. But he came over and said, Randy, if you saw the evidence that we saw, you would understand. They showed up, and you can't say what the evidence was because that's, you know, they make it illegal to explain yourself to your constituents, your boss. But he said, Randy, if you'd seen the evidence, it was clear, it was devastating, we had to go. That's what this guy told Randy Rhodes, if my memory is right. But had some more people ask some more questions. And again, maybe they just would have fallen behind the it's secret evidence, we can't tell you. But the press didn't have that obligation. The press didn't have an obligation to not ask the question. They should have been going crazy, but no, they needed a war too, because a war is going to make them more money than peace. Anytime there's a war, when Israel invades somebody, CNN, Fox News, double the ratings. These whore sons of bitches that run the American media now, we can make more money if someone shoots the president than if they don't. So if they can somehow enable the shooter to get in the right position, that's kind of where they are. That's why we got Bush instead of Gore, because Gore was dull. And he probably would have done the same stay the course thing on these Clinton initiatives. And we'd have, you know, cleaner water and clean air. Well, where's the fight about that? You know, there's no value in that. But you get this crazy monkey in here and have him start exploding in every direction. Now we got us something to report. Get the widow on the set. We got some dirty laundry here.
The coming days and weeks, I and members of my national security team will meet with the members of both parties to brief them on latest developments and listen to their views about the way forward. We'll also provide briefings to the new members of Congress so they can be fully informed as they prepare for their new responsibilities.
Excuse me, Dr. Monkey. The briefings you're going to provide to the newbies, are they going to be given by the same lying bastards that briefed the previous Congress? Or are they going to tell the truth this time? Why would anybody trust a briefing from your administration? Sir, can you name anything you've gotten right, sir? Wonder if you could do that for us while the cameras are pointing at you and everybody's listening. Wonder if you could go ahead and name something you've gotten right? Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. President.
As we work with the new leaders in Congress, I'm also looking forward to hearing the views of the bipartisan Iraq study group.
Translation. Once again, I've screwed up so bad that I'm having to run to Daddy and his friends to see what they can do to get me out of this jam. And it's pretty obvious only the BART cop plan can get them out of this. BART cop plan, as recently explained, what we got to do is get the American face off the occupation force. We got to have some soldiers in there, but they can't be Americans. So we're going to have to write some checks. We're going to have to turn some contracts over to these people. We're going to have to turn some oil wells over to France. Oh, that's going to piss them off, but that's our only chance. They're not going to come in if they get a giant fuck you from America. They're going to have to get a we're sorry from America, and that may take a new president. We may be stuck over there for two more years. We may lose another couple of thousand soldiers just because Bush is such a prick. But we got to get the American face off of it. We can write checks. We can fly AWACS planes nearby. We can run support over the oceans and over the friendly countries. But we can't be the Americans that are standing on with our those bacon-eating Americans over there with their pig feet on the sacred soil, all that bullshit. Can't have that. So we got to get out, let the French, the Japs, the Germans, oh, and get off me for a second, Japs. You know what I'm saying? We need all those, the sub, you know, the B team, we need to get in there so the A team can get out of there because everybody hates the A team now. We're the A team. Thanks, George.
Co-chaired by Secretary James Baker and Congressman Lee Hamilton.
Well, of course, you're going to get an honest reassessment from your dad's best friend and the whitewashed bastard who is the turncoat son of a bitch that let your dad go on Iran-Contra and then on the 9/11 commission. Yeah, let's get him up there for a fair and accurate and balanced presentation. Good thinking, George. Think if I screwed up everything in the world and I said, well, don't worry, I got a commission for him. It's going to be Mark Burkell and Chicago Jim and Sam Dent, and Rude Rich, and you know, a couple of my other good friends, they're going to tell me what I did wrong. Yeah, that's what they're going to do. Jesus, what a hand job. Are we going to fall for it again? Oh, I can't wait. Get all you sons of bitches under oath. And anyone that doesn't want to go under oath, all we got to say is why. Remember Cheney a couple weeks ago said, when they said, if you get subpoenaed, you're going to go talk to the new Congress, the new Democratic Congress? He said, we'll look at it if we come to it, but probably not. It's like, why? Get me on the air. Why can't Cheney answer questions under oath? What's he hiding? What truth can't he tell us? Why can't he talk to us under oath? What is he hiding? What crimes can't be revealed? You know how easy it'd be to get a bunch of echoes? Yeah, that thing would be snowballing pretty well after a couple hours. What's he hiding? Every time they say Cheney, parentheses, what's he hiding? Question mark, close parentheses. If they just would keep running that again and again, what's he hiding? Why can't he tell the truth? What about that secret meeting in 2001, before 9/11? Him and Kenny Boy and the others got up there and they divvied up Iraq's oil fields before 9/11. And when we said, who's at the meeting? Can't tell you. National security issues. Got to get frank and honest opinions from very diverse group before I can get some good information. Fuck you, liar. Tell us who was at the meeting. Tell us how you split up Iraq's oil fields before 9/11, and then you sold us this bullshit that Saddam caused it. Now, a lot of people know he didn't, but a whole lot of people still think he did because you and the press kept lying, and the Democrats are too stupid to point it out. A third of the Democrats today think Saddam was in charge of 9/11. How can we be so stupid? Or maybe it's just people are so damn busy. I don't have enough hours or minutes in the day, and God knows what would happen if I had five kids and you know, a job where I had to go to work every day for 8-9 hours. And so maybe it's just a matter of people can't keep up. Catch 5 minutes of news a week, you feel like you're half informed, but the Democrats and the press have let this country down. Bush committed the crimes, and the Democrats and the press are the ones that refused to say, stop or I'll call the police. They just stood there and watched it. Like a mother letting her husband rape the daughter. That's the press and the Democrats we've had the last 6 years. Oh, I am ashamed of both of them. But, like I say, we're in this little transition period now. I take back what I said earlier. I got until they take power to still be mad at them, because I am mad at them. And you should be, too. They just laid there. And all the stuff about Russ Feingold, you know, all the conscience of the Senate and all that stuff. Well, where was he? How many times did he filibuster? Zero. I'm just saying, it pisses me off.
The election has changed many things in Washington, but it has not changed my fundamental responsibility, and that is to protect the American people from attack.
And so far in your watch, we've had to suffer through the worst terrorist attack in history, George. So tell me, how do you grade yourself on the job you've done, considering all hell happened on your watch when you went to sleep reading the damn goat book, George? When they came to you in August and said Osama determined to strike and all that chatter was coming on, you said, that's okay, you've covered your ass, you can leave now, and you went back to Crawford, Texas to play with yourself and drink lemonade with Cheney the Dick. Don't tell us about your job.
As the Commander-in-Chief, I take these responsibilities seriously.
Almost serious enough to cut short your vacation. Remember Katrina? Remember the great job you did protecting New Orleans when you stayed on vacation? You flew to Arizona to play golf and play guitar? You just jacked off for several days while those people were in their attics, unable to breathe, unable to drink or eat. And you just went and played golf, had a good time, raised some money. Go hang around. Hey, look at me, Pickles. I play guitar. That's what you don't. Hey, fuck you, George. Tell us about how you take your job seriously. Fuck you. I got better service at a goddamn lemonade stand. Jesus, you go to any barbecue pit in Oklahoma, you get better service than what the president gave this country during wartime. Can't be bothered. Month-long vacations. While at the same time, remember a couple weeks ago, he's talking about, this is the fight for humanity itself. Well, then why are you trying to win it on the cheap, you dumb son of a bitch? Why are you taking vacations if this is the fight for humanity itself? Why is Cheney taking time off to go shoot his friend in the face? Why isn't he working on this full time? Why do we have a part-time president and vice president if we're fighting for the survival of humanity itself? Can you explain that, Mr. President? You've never been asked a question like that because the press whores, those sons of bitches that are asking you are going to ask you some questions in a few minutes if I quit talking. They don't ask you real questions. Or if they do, you say, well, I think what you're asking is a red convertible red? And the answer to that is, of course. Now, how about you, Stretch? You got a tough question I can't answer?
And so does the man who served this nation honorably for almost 6 years as our Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld.
Now you're just asking for an ass-kicking. Jesus Christ, don't be so stupid, George. You need to mention his name fewer and fewer times. Quit telling us what a great... Why'd you fire him if he's doing such a great job? Heck of a job, Brownie. Heck of a job, Rummy. Everybody's doing that... All my loyal lieutenants, all the guys who would take a bullet for me rather than speak the truth. Oh, such a good job. The job they were hired to do, they've really fucked to hell. But the job of protecting me, real heck of a job you boys is doing.
Our military has experienced an enormous amount of change and reform during the last 5 years.
That's true. They went from capable and ready and well-stocked and well-armed and prepared to what we have right now. So, Ding, ding, ding. There's one that George got right. If he gets one right, if he tells the truth accidentally, we need to ring the bell. Ding, ding, ding. He got it right.
One of the most consequential wars in our nation's history.
Yeah, you got time to go on vacation. Condi's got time to go buy shoes in New York while Katrina's drowning. Rumsfeld's over there shaking Saddam's hand. Cheney's out shooting his friend in the face. Everybody's got something else to do besides their goddamn job. And you're telling us how important it is. Blow me, Mr. President.
Don Rumsfeld has been a superb leader during a time of change. Yet he also appreciates the value of bringing in a fresh perspective during a critical period in this war.
No, monkey, that's not even close to being true. Everyone who disagrees with Rumsfeld was fired or retired. Go to hell with this bullshit after bullshit after bullshit litany you're giving us this here. Oh, Donald Rumsfeld, he don't even have an ego. He loves to do it the other guy's way. He always wants to hear some new ideas, and when he hears them, he likes to change. Jesus Christ, if these whores in this room, the fact that they're not bursting out in laughter after every sentence, I guess, well, it's either a tribute to their naivete or their devotion to the monkey or something, but Jesus Christ.
Don Rumsfeld is a patriot who served our country with honor and distinction. He is a trusted advisor and a friend, and I'm deeply grateful to his service to our country. I've asked Bob Gates to serve as the Secretary of Defense. Bob is a former director of the CIA and current president of Texas A&M University.
Well, first of all, nobody gives a damn if he's president of Texas A&M. I know to you, that means he's qualified for everything. He could be next shuttle pilot. Oh, he went to A&M. Oh, well, no wonder. Give him the wheel. But the idea that he was in charge of the CIA, yeah, he was. Back when Reagan and your dad were selling arms to the terrorists. That's right. He was in charge then. And when they put him under oath and said, what happened? He said, oh, no. What do you think the CIA is going to know? If people who aren't even elected are sending missiles over to the terrorists? Remember, in 1980, Reagan and Bush, neither one of them was in the government. They were outsiders running, trying to get inside the government, yet they were making secret deals to ship Stinger missiles to the Iranians. And that's okay. CIA didn't mind. They asked Gates, oh, who, me? That happened? No, I don't think. Did that really happen? Oh, yeah, let's get a competent guy like that in charge of the CIA. If he can't tell that a couple of civilians are shipping missiles to Iran, to the terrorists, how the hell is he going to catch Al-Qaeda?
If confirmed by the Senate, Bob will bring more than 25 years of national security experience and a stellar reputation as an effective leader with sound judgment.
No, that's not what he's going to do. He's going to bring his loyalty to you above the country to the Secretary of Defense. Didn't we just have one of those for 6 years? Isn't that what caused the problem that got us here?
He served six presidents from both political parties and rose from an entry-level employee in the CIA to become the director of Central Intelligence.
Like Condi Rice, he's got a long and distinguished resume, but it was all appointed positions. If he would ever run for something, if he would ever have to put himself on the line and prove that he's better than some other guy we've never heard of, then he might could say he accomplished something. But someone like him or Condi Rice, who always gets appointed to something, well, how do we know how competent they are? Like I just said, he couldn't catch Reagan and Bush when they were shipping missiles to the enemy. Condi Rice, what has she ever done? She plays the piano, and she's George's friend. That's her long list of resumes. Oh, and she had her name on a Chevron tanker. That makes you qualified to be Secretary of State. Of course it does. Oh, did she go to A&M too, George?
During his service at the CIA and at the National Security Council, Bob Gates gained firsthand knowledge that will help him meet the challenges and opportunities our country faces during the next 2 years. He's a steady, solid leader who can help make the necessary adjustments in our approach to meet our current challenges.
George, you said those same things about Porter Goss, and that wasn't true. You said those same things about George Tenet, and that wasn't true. You said the same things about Rummy, that wasn't true. You said the same things about Brownie, and that wasn't true. Every time you get a close personal friend who's loyal to you and your dad that you're going to appoint to some position, oh, he's the right man at the right time for the special job. He's uniquely qualified and the most, yeah. But then they turn around to be a bunch of fuck-ups. Like you, George. You know, something that really screws us up here is this idiotic idea. McCain is one of the biggest promoters of it, is the president should get whoever he wants. You know, if you want to put a reckless drunk in charge of defense, hey, that's the man the president wants. If you want to put an idiotic prick who won't listen to anybody in charge of defense, that's okay. That's okay. It's the man the president wants. That shit ought to stop. You ought to have to be qualified to get a job like this. You ought to have to be someone, you know, not on the president's personal payroll, the payroll of his crime family that started with Hitler. Let's not get that group in charge of everything. That's how we got where we are. You know, I don't know if it's going to come up anywhere else, so I'm going to say it now because it just pisses me off. You know, Bush keeps running against himself. For a couple of weeks now, they've been screaming about, oh, the fantastic economic news. Unemployment is so low. How low is it? Well, it's so low, it's at a five-year low. Oh, I get it. As long as Bush only has to compete with himself, they can make some successes out of this. Oh, it's a five-year high. Well, he's been there 6 years. When he got in, the bottom dropped out of the floor. Everybody fell 60 stories, and now we're 30 stories back, and they're screaming what a great success it is. Hey, Clinton took the stock market from 3,500 to 11,000. The monkey's taking it from 11 to 11. What a genius. If they would compare apples to apples, if they would compare Bush to other presidents, he gets an F every time. Don't compare Bush to Bush. Compare Bush to the previous president. If you want to compare, you got two-term presidents. Compare Clinton's first 6 years and his 6 years. Remember, at this point in Clinton's presidency, his approval rating was in the high 70s. Where's the monkeys in the low 30s? It's not the same. It's just not the fucking same. Anybody keeps saying, oh, employment's so low, a five-year low. Holy Christ, how could it get any lower? How could it possibly get everybody? Well, gee, I wonder if all the dead and maimed soldiers is helping the lower rate. You know, you get a guy with no legs and one arm. Yeah, he's not going to be out there competing for a job now, is he? Jesus Christ. Thank God we won that Tuesday. Oh, thank God. Heard it again today. We really did save the country. The country was 80% fascist, and that we just had to take that last 20% step, and then it was goodbye. So I don't know how the Democrats did it. Maybe Howard Dean is the genius they said he was, or maybe America just finally, maybe Katrina just ripped the mask off the crazy bastard, and everybody said, hey, we got dead black people here, and the president don't care. Kanye West. Maybe he helped turn around. He's flat out stood there on a live program and said, George Bush don't care about black people. And oh, the uproar. How dare you tell the truth? What's this guy doing on the American airwaves telling the truth? To get on the American airwaves, you have to be a lying whore and spout the Bush agenda. That's how you get on the American airwaves. How did this black guy, how did this Negro get on the television? And what's he doing speaking the damn truth? Shame on the Kanye West.
By putting this election and partisanship behind us, we can launch a new era of cooperation and make these next 2 years productive ones for the American people.
George, you keep saying it's time to get along and be friends, but that's only because you lost your power. And I know these Democrats, they're probably going to do whatever you ask them, and that's going to piss me off, and I'm going to have to say so, whatever it costs me. But don't act like now's the time to be friends after you've lost all your power. When you had all the power, you told us, go fuck yourself. If you don't like it, you go fuck. Cheney told Leahy, you go fuck yourself, Senator Leahy. That's how you guys have been for 6 years. Now you lost all the power, you want to make friends? Oh, things would be very different if I was in charge. I would make you eat it live on TV in front of everybody. I'd get you crying, and then once you were breaking down and sobbing like my little bitch on your knees, then I would say, okay, but George, now that we've seen the real you, come on, go ahead and stand back up, and I will let you shine my shoes. I'll let you sweep my bathroom. I'll let you clean my toilet. But that's all you're good for, George. You're no good to anybody, George. You're only there because the Constitution says you have to be. But then again, you ignore the Constitution when you want to. Why don't we? Maybe it's time we should just... Well, yeah, maybe the impeachment process would be a good thing. Oh, I don't know. Might be a good idea. Anybody think?
Danny, don't you know you're Danny? You just mess with the wrong team. Better not try and fall asleep now.